You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I have a question for you. I have something that I want you to ponder a little bit and tell me what you think about it. Does your cell phone make you lonely? You know, do our cell phones actually contribute to our loneliness as a species, as our human condition? You know, I ask this question because phones seem to be our connector. They're our connection to others. You know, some of us call it our lifeline. Others, an umbilical cord. And so that's stretching it, but some people do. Others call it their noose, and some their ball and chain. But think about it. For the most part, it might not necessarily be you. Well, let's just hypothetically say it's your best friend. When was the last time you saw a good friend of yours think they lost their cell phone? Do you know that? You know those occasions when they can't find it. They've checked every pocket. For all you women out there, you checked your purse, you've checked everything. Ah! Oh my God! And you see somebody literally freak out. Like mass hysteria, total meltdown takes place right in front of your very eyes. There's no hiding it. Like, they can't even act like this isn't happening because it's so bad. I mean, most people would have thought that they must have lost their baby in the restaurant. Their baby, their child. Not their cell phone. And it's always interesting because usually things work out and the phone is brought to them, or they go in and somebody's found the phone and everybody, oh God. And that person's over like, oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, oh my God. 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 Oh my God, really. Oh my God. Thank you so much. Oh my God. Oh my God, my whole life is in this phone. My whole life, every number I've ever had, my pictures, I haven't backed up the birth of my child, all in this phone. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of stuff in the phone. That's a lot of stuff in your phone. I've seen that happen at least 30 times in the last year and a half where somebody has completely lost it. And this isn't just a female thing, okay? All you men out there. You don't lose it so much as us women do, okay? You don't sit there and just, like, literally break down and cry. But you usually get very upset and angry. Somebody must have stolen my phone. Oh, my God. All my work contacts. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, you kind of freak out a little bit. And, you know, hopefully you find it. And I've had it before where I've lost my own phone. And it was actually up to my ear. And I like to call this completely unconscious moment. The completely unconscious moment when you're on the phone talking to somebody. And I'm sure some of y'all have had this actually happen to you. And I know nobody's going to raise their hand. And very rarely is anybody going to tell someone else that this happened to them. But I'm going to go on and break the ice right now. Shame the devil and tell the truth. I've had it before where I'm so unconscious on what I'm doing. I'm walking around talking to somebody on the phone. And in the middle of the conversation, I go, oh my God. Oh my God. I've lost my phone. And I won't say anything on the phone, but I'm holding the phone in my ear, okay? And eventually that person on their line, this has only happened twice in my lifetime, thank you so much. But for some of you, that's happened more. For some of you, it haven't happened, but wait till it does, because it is the most humbling experience. And for the most part, you'll start like fumbling through stuff. You'll be, you know, ravaging through a purse as a female. For a man, you'll be looking through, you know, your office, your desk, on your table. And usually, lo and behold, that person on their line is going to say, what in the heck are you doing? What's going on? I mean, I can barely hear you. The rattling and the moving around of papers is so loud. And you'll be like, I've lost my phone. They'll be like, what phone? My cell phone. Huh. And I've had somebody do that with me before, where I'm on the phone And I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, oh my God, I can't find my cell phone. I go, you have a secondary phone? They're like, no. I'm like, you're on the phone with me, idiot. You're on the phone with me right now. And they'll be like, oh my God. Oh my God, I totally forgot. And I've done it myself, you know. I mean, I can't throw stones or call out people or throw stones or call out people because you know what? I've done it before too. Well, when that phone could really be missing is when you see a complete human breakdown. Like, I've never seen it before, though. It's just, like, right there on cue. Oh, my God. For some women, it'll start crying. For some of you men, you get very angry. I can't believe I lost this phone. It's the second phone this year. I can't afford this anymore. This is bad juju. You know, in the phone, the reason why I asked, does your cell phone really make you actually lonely? And I actually presuppose the fact that I think that the cell phone actually contributes to our loneliness as a species. I believe that it contributes to our loneliness, and I'm going to talk about exactly tonight how our cell phone and us combined, the dynamic duo, can feel completely lonely and isolated when together sometimes and not realizing the functionality of what's really going on here. You know, for some of us, the phone, like I said, is this connector to others. It's this vital line. It's this connection. It's the finger on the pulse, really. Some of us call it our lifeline. I don't know what I would do without my cell phone. Maybe I'd go run around or play with other people. Maybe I would, that sounded weird. Maybe I would go run around. Maybe I would get a jog in. Maybe I'd read a book. Maybe I'd do something constructive. Instead, I have my dynamic duo, my cell phone, which never leaves my hand. You know, some of us call it the umbilical cord. Others of us seem to be tiring of it. And some of you are just tiring of it because you truly are in love with it. You want to marry it. You want to marry your cell phone. So you call it your ball and chain, the old noose, the I can't stand this phone. And it's almost like a badge of honor. If this phone doesn't stop ringing, I'm going to throw it out. Can't stand this phone. Can't stand it. And others of you, like, constantly cleaning your phone, using a little raggy. You have a little special container for it. Some of you have special cases for it. Some of you treat your phone better than yourself. Seriously, like you're disinfecting it all the time when you probably need a shower yourself. I'm just kidding. Either way you look at it, though, if you look at it as your lifeline, your finger on the pulse to what's going on, your finger on the pulse of reality, of finding out who's doing what and what's going on, or if you look at it as a noose, as a problem, as a stressor, as the ball and chain, either way, I feel that the more we pay attention to our phone, the more sucked in we get by it, the more ultimately, the more lonely we feel. And I feel this way because I feel like it's kind of like a bipolar type of lonely. It's like a bipolar type of lonely, really. So think about it. You have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have texting. Rarely do many of you phone call anymore. I love phone calls. I'm a phone call person. Now, I don't like to be on the phone forever. God bless it. God bless it. I love some of y'all a lot. But some of you can even talk more than me. And being that I talk for a living, I don't want to be on the phone for a certain amount of time. I mean, literally, honestly, 30 minutes. Unless we're talking about something that we have a lot of stuff we got to cover. 30 minutes is pretty much the longest I want to be on a call. Now, I don't mind 30 minutes, but anything more than that is you're pushing it. You're pushing it because I got stuff I got to do. And I love you and I care about you, but man, those hour calls, those hour and a half. I mean, in the very beginning, when you meet somebody and you're talking with somebody, that's awesome. But if you keep on going that direction, man, it's like, to me, it's almost like that 3-hour dinner. You're like, oh, geez, if they could just give me my bed and put it right here, I could pass out, you know? But I think it is kind of like a bipolar type lonely because we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have texting, instant messaging, and all those types of things. And it's funny because we're still on our own. For the most part, we're still on our own, or we're not actually paying attention to the people with us. Stay tuned. We turn and talk about how the phone can actually isolate us And later on, I'll be talking about how it's become a security blanket for most people, at least in the United States. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm asking the question, does your cell phone make you lonely? Does your cell phone, for some of you, your companion, does your cell phone contribute to your loneliness? Good question. Well, thank you. And I plan on answering that question tonight. You know, our phone is our connection for some of us, our lifeline, our finger on the pulse. For others, their umbilical cord. And for others, their ball and chain, or their actual noose for them to hang themselves with. It's interesting because our phone, either way you look at it, it feels to me that the more attention I pay to it, for example, in the morning I wake up and the last thing I want to do is be on my phone. However, what do? I get on my phone. I go directly to Facebook and see who's commented. After that, I go to Twitter and I see who's tweeted me and I respond back accordingly. Then I go to Instagram and see who's liked the pictures of me or my dog, Buddy, the miniature bull terrier. That's just the sweetest, cutest little baby boo. He's so cute. Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, I look at that. Then I go to what? Ding, ding, ding. Emails. Check and see who is demanding my attention today. And then next, text messaging. Who's been texting me while I've been sleeping? I'm responding to all these as well. And then phone calls. See who's called me, who has left voicemails, has anybody called me from jail? All those good things. I do all that in the morning as soon as I wake up. And then I say, doggone it, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I get in the shower and I get ready. And usually in the morning I have a conference call of some sort. Normally a 9 a.m. conference call, 8:30, 9 a.m. conference call. And I get on the phone and then we conference people in. And I really don't want to be on that call, which is so funny. However, by the end of that call, it's like I'm connected to that phone. Like, at the end of that conference call, as everybody's saying goodbye, 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 it's, like, harder and harder to get off the phone. And I find myself kind of wondering, who can I call next? I need to be on the phone. And that's at the point where I feel like it's almost like a mother dropping off her kid the first day of school. That's how I feel. It's like the phone and I are connected, and I have to break that connection because otherwise, all I'm going to do is be on the phone. It's like the kid that doesn't want to leave mom's car because I'm scared to go to school. And the same thing is I get off that conference call and everybody's like, bye, 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 talk to you later, bye, bye, bye. And I have close relations with people that I work with. And I get off the phone, I'm like, man. Well, I hope this rest of the day goes well. I mean, that was a good conference call and all, but I really need to get back on that phone. And so then I work for the next 10 minutes to not be on the phone. It's almost like I'm having to take the phone, put it back down. Take the phone, put it back down. I pick it up, put it back down. Put the phone down, Ashley. I get ready. I head to work. And it's funny because it's not until someone calls me and I'm on a good call, it's almost like I want to be back on that phone again. And other times it's like you just can't pay me to be on that phone. And so I think it's interesting how I believe that the more attention we give the phone, the more sucked in we get, the more lonely we feel. And it's almost like this bipolar type of lonely. Like you're not really lonely, but you kind of are. Because you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have texting, you have phone calls rarely. And you have all that, but you're still on your own. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is how the phone can actually do its job of isolating us. Well, and you know what? I really want to start off really clear and quickly by making something very crystal clear. The phone doesn't isolate us. We isolate ourselves. But however, our phone is the item that we use to isolate with. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? The phone doesn't isolate us. It doesn't go, oh, Ashley, okay, Ashley can't see anybody. No, Ashley doesn't have time for you. No, step back, pass the line, pass the rope, please. Pass the rope. past that rope, sir. That line that says stand back there. Yeah, yeah, you need to get past that line. No, the phone does not do that for it. Siri is not yelling at people to tell them to leave you alone. Instead, we actually choose to isolate ourselves, but our phone is what we isolate ourselves with. So I think it's interesting. So let's talk about, let's presuppose back in the past when we were living without a phone. And for some of you out there who are listening, have no idea what I'm talking about. Without a cell phone, I'm not talking about a home phone, guys. I mean, come on. I'm not that old. I mean, gosh bless. Anybody that's listening that didn't have a home phone, it's okay if you're that old. It's no big deal. You're wise and you look good. But I'm talking about in the day without the phone. And so I can go back to like my high school years and school years. I mean, when I was in college, I mean, I had a phone, but that was insane. I mean, the pricing on those phones were insane. And yes, I wanted to show everybody that I was so cool, that I was needed so much that I had to have a cell phone. And you know what? I spent all kinds of money on that cell phone. Unbelievable amount of money on that cell phone. However, think about it. Before that cell phone, we'd go out, we'd do things. You know, like, we would hang out with people. And even back in the cell phones, before you could really do a lot with it, like, you couldn't hide behind it. Before you could, you know, back when you could only, like, call or text, like, people didn't really hide behind their phones. Like, a lot of, you would be on the phone a lot, you'd talk a lot. But you wouldn't be, like, with your head in the phone because there wasn't that much to do on it. I mean, you know, you just wait for it to ding and then you look back at it. You don't put your head in it. And it's like, it was funny. I was at a conference recently and they were talking about how a lot of doctors lately are seeing people with neck and back problems. And you know where they're coming from? You got it. From walking and looking down at their phone. From sitting in a certain position with your neck down a certain way, looking at your phone. This is what's happening. Our new generation is going to have humpbacks, okay? The new generation of people are going to have humpbacks. Humpbacks, you heard me. It's no hollow back girl. It's no humpback girl. It's no humpback girl. I ain't no humpback girl. Seriously, we're going to have a whole generation of humpback boys and girls, humpback women and men, because of this thing called the cell phone. However, back in the day, think about it. We'd go out and hang out. We'd do something. We'd do something with our time. We would create something with our time. And we wouldn't just isolate at home with our phone. And some of you out there, I'm a therapist, remember? Ding, 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 ding. I got real juice, okay? I'm a therapist. I got real juicy, juicy conversations that I remember that I can't really talk about. However, I can make generalizations about certain situations. And what I can say is that my clients between the ages of 25 and 40 averagely spend more than 4.5 hours on their cell phone. Not in calls, but actually on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Instagram is the number one time sucker on a cell phone so far in my practice. Yes, it's not just the people liking the photos, it's the people actually stalking the photos. And it's not just the opposite sex stalking either. A lot of times it's the same sex stalking people with relationships or lifestyles that they wish they had. Seeing other people as having everything and them having nothing. And Instagram is one of those things that you look at some of these pictures and you go, my God, they have a good life. And I've talked about this on another show in the past. Not so much on Instagram, but on Facebook. And it's only happened a couple of times, but when it has, man. And it happened recently, again, I was looking at one of my friend's postings, and it's just like, man, you look at some of this stuff, and it's like you start going, oh, man, I wish I had that. And you have to really check yourself when it comes to that. And I feel like a lot of times, too, when you're on your phone, you'll see people doing all kinds of stuff. They're out and about. They're hanging out with friends, they're partying, and you're like, man, what am I doing? You're on your phone looking at pictures of them having fun. But I have to ask a question. If people are really having that much fun, do you have a lot of time to take pictures? What I've seen in my past and what I've seen in my present and what I don't know about my future is that a lot of times when you're having a lot of fun or you're working, you don't have time to take pictures. You actually have to stop, think about the picture, and make it happen. Okay? When you're not having a lot of fun, there's a lot of time to take pictures, to do this and that, but it doesn't seem like it's really that organic. And I feel that a lot of times we read into pictures more than it is. And our phones, because they are smartphones, we can have a tendency of feeling lonely because we see other people doing things that we wish we were doing. And we kind of write a script for them. We write this script that everything's great and life's perfect and, oh, it couldn't be any better. And aren't we so glad that we're in this position? And God bless us. We have the most amazing life. But is that always true? No. No. And for the most part, except for a few people that want to put pictures up ever so often just to say, hey, I'm alive. And like for me, hey, I'm here. And I just want to say hi to my friends. And here's my puppy. And here's the new Perspective Street team. Yeah, guys. Shout out to the Perspective Street team, which is starting here soon. Other than that, I don't really want to put up a lot of pictures because, one, when I'm normally doing things, I'm kind of busy. And I want to share my life with everybody, but at the same time, I don't always remember to do it. And you have some people that take a picture of everything they do. I'm surprised they don't take a picture when they go to the bathroom. Stay tuned when we return. We'll be talking more about how the phone can isolate you, as well as how the phone has become a security blanket for many of you, and how we need to figure out when and where and how to get over that. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, be back this time and, well, be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I'm asking the question tonight, does your cell phone make you lonely? You know, do cell phones ultimately contribute to our loneliness as a human being? Because I know a lot of times we get connected with our phone, we use our phone as a connection, the vital line, the life source to everybody in our life. And I think we have a tendency of overrating the phone, but we also tend to put our phone first. And even when we're in the company of other people, we still have a tendency of putting our nose in the phone and looking at it all the time. You know, we were talking about how the phone can isolate and how it's not that the phone's isolating us. It's not that Siri is, you know, putting a wall around us and telling everybody that they can't come through, or a moat for that matter. But in reality, we're using Siri. We're using the phone to actually isolate ourselves because we're using that as our item of isolation. You know, let's talk now about our phone, aka the security blanket. Our security blanket. You know, it gives us the feeling of being needed, of being wanted. You know, just take a second and think about it. You know, when the think about this. When you're at a restaurant, picture this. You're at a restaurant, and I always think about Golden Girls when I say that. Picture this, 1957. Okay. Picture this. You're at a restaurant. You're hanging out. Everybody's there. You got a big group of people. Let's just say five. Let's not say a big group, because a big group, that's not really fair. But let's just say five people at the table. So it's a small table. Five of you. Good friends. Know each other a long time. Five. Five top table, right? So there you are. Everybody's ordering their drinks. The drinks come. The first drink comes around. Everybody toasts, does whatever. Then they look at the menu. Maybe they order a couple appetizers. Those come out. It seems like normally right around that time, right before you're ordering your entree, somebody goes after their phone. And right down, it's like the phone showdown. Right when that first person picks up their phone, it's on like Donkey Kong. Because you know what's going on? They pick up their phone and then everybody else has got to do the same. Why do you ask, Ashley? Why does everybody do that? Because you know it happens all the time, right? Because it just happened to you just yesterday, right? You had somebody, they grab the phone, next thing you know, you see everybody is like faces in the phone. And it takes one person to kind of look at everybody kind of crazy like, or to start a conversation to remind everybody again, you were in public. You were sitting at a table with four of your other good friends and none of you are speaking. And finally, somebody speaks and everybody goes, and they, you know, you put your phone down and you kind of go back to what you were doing. However, To me, that's like a security blanket. It's like wanting to feel needed, like that person felt needed. But what about me? My phone didn't ring. Nobody texted me at SOS. Not a 911. Nothing. Nobody needs me. Nobody. But you keep it all inside. And so that's what happens when somebody grabs that phone. You go, well, God bless. Somebody needs me. Just one person need me. Even that friend that just gets on my everlasting nerve. Please need me right now. Please. Please. Just so I can say, hey, I'm busy. I'm at dinner, but I'll call you back. Seriously. Think about it. Think about half of those people that call you that you hardly even spend time with on the phone, unless you're in a busy area with a lot of people and you answer that phone like they're the Queen of England. Yes, ma'am. How are you doing? Oh, great to hear from you. Great to hear from you. Oh, yeah. How are the kids? How are the family? And then after about 7 minutes, you know, I gotta go. I'm sitting here looking at people here at dinner, and it's probably a good idea if I get off the phone. That's the longest you've talked to Catherine in your whole life. It's the longest in your lifetime that you talked to that person. How dare you use them to prove how needed you are. And it's true, I've done it before, you've done it before. What about when the phone rings? In a group of people. The phone rings. One person's cell phone rings. Not everybody's, just one. And everybody checks their phone. Okay? Everybody checks their phone. And you know it's not your phone because the ringer came from over there. It didn't come from your pocket. It didn't come from your hand. It didn't come from your purse. It came from over there. And some of you, that's not even the ringtone you use. But it's like, you got to check your phone now. If you're checking your phone, it's time for me to check my phone. Get back. Ha! Seriously, that's how we feel a lot of times. Is that we have to check that phone. And it's funny how we still check it, even though we know that that wasn't our phone. Some of you check to see if your phone ringer's on or off. Others of you just want to see if anybody loves you or not. Or are you just totally unloved, unrequited love, screwed again? So think about it. Next time you're at a restaurant, next time you're out with your friends, watch this because it's quite humorous. You know, the next thing that a cell phone provides us, you can ask yourself the question, I'd like to hear it. Love to hear your thoughts on this, is it allows us to feel important. It allows us to feel important because it gives us a feeling of importance. Instantaneous need. I'm instantly needed. Oh, yeah. Instantly needed. You know me, baby. You know me. Oh, yeah. Everybody needs me, baby. I got people calling me. Can't even go to bed without talking to me before they go to bed. Seriously, we find this like importance factor a real plus when it comes to the phone. I mean, like, it's like, that is our bread and butter. It's our butter, baby. Spread it like butter. So think about it. It gives us a feeling of importance. We feel inflated. I would have to presuppose the fact that we, and yeah, presuppose has become my favorite word lately. Yes. We feel inflated when the phone rings. It's like we've won something. Especially the bigger the group, the better. It's almost turned around because in some groups when the phone rings, you're embarrassed because the phone should have been off because it's like a funeral or a wedding. Those are two times, funeral and wedding, when you look like a total, like you look like a mook. Like you know, you look like a derelict. People look at you and go, oh my God. Can you believe that? Ruining the ceremony. Over there, phone ringing, ruining the ceremony. How dare her even show her face in this chapel. Ruining the ceremony. Or, I can't believe that. Did you see so-and-so's phone went off in the middle of the eulogy? The eulogy. Oh, yeah. And it was La Cucaracha. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yep. No class. Couldn't have turned it on mute, huh? And the worst thing is when somebody's sitting there and they don't hear it. and there's a eulogy going on, and you hear La Cucaracha, ta 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 ta, and you're like, holy crow. And the funniest thing is that usually in that situation, it's usually like a, like an older lady that looks so sweet, or an older man that looks sweet, or somebody you just don't want to get mad about. But it's funny because it takes them so long to figure out that the phone's coming from their purse or their pocket, which I can't believe it. I think that they're so into the eulogy. However, flip this around. When you're not at a funeral, and you're not at a wedding, and you're not at a birthing, and you're not at a confirmation, and you're not at a baptism, okay, get those out. Bam. Okay, you're not on those. Other than that, and not at a concert, and not at a piano concert, nothing that people actually play the live music, and they're on stage, and so they can totally hear you, and it's really quiet. A theater, probably not good either. An opera. Now that I think about it, there's a lot of places that you really don't want your phone to ring, right? I mean, because it makes you look like a mook, and people don't like it. But if you flip it around, there are places that you kind of like your phone to ring. And when we return, I'm going to be talking about those places and talking about how we kind of like that because it gives us that feeling, the security blanket, but it also gives us that feeling that we are importante, muy, muy importante. Ooh, el capitan, seriously, it gives you that feeling. So stay tuned when we return. We're going to be talking about those places that when your phone rings, you are cool. In the meantime, check out my website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the show on Spreaker with an R, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. Really cool platform. Like it a lot. iTunes as well. And also go check out the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, featured from All Texas Music. AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about when is a cool time for your phone to ring. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. Be back this time and well, just a little two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about how the phone, I believe, can actually contribute to our loneliness and make us feel lonely. I feel like our phone actually can contribute. It's not necessarily creating this loneliness, but we're creating a loneliness within the fact of holding onto that phone, looking at that phone at all times, anytime, all the time. And we have a tendency of excommunicating ourselves and getting ourselves out of communication and out of the conversation. I feel that a lot of times when we're even out with other people, we choose the phone over them. And I believe that that's starting to get in the way of our friendships. It's actually starting to tear our friendships apart. I think if you even go a farther distance, go even deeper into the conversation, the fact that a lot of times I've even seen people comment and tell me that they gave a birthday party for somebody, but they got so insulted because the person was always on Facebook talking to other people on Facebook that they never even really talked to anybody at their own birthday party. To me, that was somebody that obviously didn't want to be there, okay? But for most of us, I feel that sometimes we get ourselves stuck in a rut by looking at that phone because we are conditioned to do so. We become conditioned. When that bell rings, we're conditioned. It's like Pavlov's response, right? Think about it. I've done it sometimes where I'm like, holy crow, it kind of freaked me out. Like, it actually made me really think about what am I doing? And I have been programmed and conditioned to do exactly what I just did. I've been programmed and conditioned when that bell rings, ding, when that phone goes off, ding, you know, whatever it is, like, oh, grab the phone. Man, I mean, I've been in the middle of like a meeting where I've done that before, and that's when I've really decided that this is a really important show to do. Because I think that a lot of times the reason why it also creates a little bit of loneliness is that the phone functions as like this like importance. It's like a medal of honor when it comes to importance. And it gives us this feeling of being important, and it gives us this inflated feeling when it rings. It's like we win the lottery. It's like ding, 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 ding. What do we have for Johnny? Well, you know what? She has some friends. And she feels really good about having these friends. And, you know, they called her and she feels really good about that, you know. Or they texted her and it could be just like, yeah, hey, what's up? What's going on? You know, I want to grab a drink tomorrow night. Oh, my God. You know, and it's very interesting because it does fill that gap, fill the gap of importance. We feel wanted. We feel wanted. We feel needed. Okay. And I want to give you the example of what my deal is when I'm dealing with my phone, because I think y'all are going to get a good kick out of this and it's going to make you laugh. And this show is all about laughter, because laughter is freaking awesome. And I don't like to call it the best medicine, because I don't really like medicine. I'm not a big medicine fan. No matter how you tweak it to taste like bubblegum, it still tastes really kind of like medicine. So let's talk about this. So it's so funny. So the one thing that I've been really dealing with the phone, and I don't know, it's happened recently, and I've slowed down on it. I'm not so addicted to this anymore. However, for a few years, when I got on the plane, and you know how you have to turn your phone off on the plane, right? You turn your phone off, you put it on airport mode, whatever. And there's a lot of you out there who wait till the very last minute, by the way. I'm not saying anything, but I see you. I see you. And if those airplane, ability for us to fly in the air and not fall is tampered by any of y'all's cell phone activity, I'm going to be kind of mad. Come after you in the second life. However, in reality, though, I know it's probably not going to, but I kind of push those buttons too. But you know, the last thing you like is when you see like the guy next to you in the across from you in the next aisle that, you know, the flight attendant's like, "You turn your phone off." They're like, "Oh," and you always get all stressed out. So I always put my phone on airport mode. You know, by the time they say, "Hey, your phone needs to be in airport mode or shut off," I'm already there. I'm following the rules, doing the rules, following the FAA regulations. And so when the plane lands and we're taxiing to our gate, this is where I get kind of like, let's see how important I am. And so I turn off the airplane mode and I reset the phone. And as it comes back on, I turn the volume all the way up. And it's something that I like to do, and I've stopped doing this because I know that this is an addiction, and I know that this hopefully doesn't tell you volumes about me that you can't stand, but hopefully this will make you laugh. And all of a sudden, ding 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 ding. And it's like 45 text messages come in, like 7 calls, and everybody turns around and looks at me. And I'm like, yeah, pretty important. I'm working to get over that. I'm not actually checking into a rehab facility for that at this time. However, I have stopped doing that. And I do it now for my own benefit with the volume off. And yes, I do. I do. It's almost winning that stupid video game that you play on your phone that nobody's ever going to see. You're never going to get a medal for it. And nobody's ever going to give you a round of applause. However, the greatest thing about it is you love it. You love it. I thank the Academy of Phone Distributors for the 150 text messages I received in 3 hours. I know that I've won this award compared to everybody else, and I'm so happy that I got the gold this year. No, you're not going to get that. I know. That phone gives us this sense of freaking importance. And you know what? I feel ultra, ultra needed. So let's talk about what happens, though. What happens? What happens when it's not ringing? What happens when your phone isn't ringing? What happens when nobody's calling you and nobody's texting you and nobody's reaching out? What happens when you put up something on Facebook and you write something up and you feel like it's so profound and you put it up there, you put your update up there and you went, "It's probably the smartest update I've ever written on Facebook." What about that picture on Instagram that you go, "Man, that's the best I've ever looked in a picture"? And wow, that's going to get a lot of hearts. And that could be the most lonely feeling. When you've put an update up that you think is the best, when you put a picture up that you think is the best, and nobody cares. Nobody's commenting, nobody's seen it, and nobody's giving you thumbs up, and nobody's giving you hearts. Now think about it. When it comes to texting and calling. Have you had some days where literally you've become so addicted to this phone and nobody's calling you that you actually start panicking? Has anybody actually panicked? Have you also considered resetting your phone? Reset the phone because you think there's no way in God's green creation that this phone is not ringing. There's got to be a problem, in my case, with T-Mobile. There's got to be a phone, in my case, with AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, whoever it is. And we would love to have a phone company sponsoring this show. And I would love to find a company that would be a great sponsor for Perspectives because you're going to get a lot of positive earplay. Because I am big and a loyal phone person. I'm a loyal phone company person. I follow a company. But you know what? When my phone isn't ringing, I wonder if they're having problems with the lines. Is there satellite issues up in space? Huh. Maybe I need to reset my phone because they've done something to some sort of server, and I need to reset it because, you know what? Hell is actually frozen over. Seriously, when you reset the phone and then you still realize that, no, you have had no calls and you've missed no calls. I asked for no quarter and I got no quarter. That can make you feel very lonely. And I think the reason why it makes us feel lonely is we now don't feel that important. Like, nobody's reaching out, nobody's trying to get in touch with us, and you know what? For real, like, we feel as though nobody cares. And I feel like that is the issue with the phone, is that we've made it such an accessory. We've made it not only an accessory, we've actually made it like another person in our lives. Like that other person that we laugh with, we cry with, we smile with, we take naked pictures of ourselves with. We trust with these naked pictures. Think about it. Some of you talk to Siri like it's your mother. Some of you talk to Siri like it's your girlfriend. And some of you, I don't even want to talk about it. I have not ever asked Siri a question. I've thought about it, but I feel kind of odd doing it. I don't know why. I feel a little odd doing it. When we return, I'll be talking more about the cell phone, our connection with the cell phone, our addiction to the cell phone, as well as discussing things that we can do, things you can do beginning today to offset your phone and your phone addiction. Your love affair for the phone, how to offset that a little bit, still be friends, but not so in love. Stay tuned, we return another hour of Perspectives. Perspectives is your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time. Well, we'll be back actually this time in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about cell phones tonight, about loneliness. Could they contribute to our loneliness? And right now, I really want to talk about our love for cell phones. We have a love for our smartphone. We love them, and if we could, for some of you out there, you would actually marry your phone if you weren't already married to a human being. I think to some degree, though, however, some of us have that love and hate relationship with our phone. Maybe it's more perhaps a happy and lonely relationship that facilitates with our phone. And so I really want to talk about, because I think that one of the biggest ways we use our phone, one of the biggest applications we use our phone for, is for texting. And I think that texting is directly related to loneliness via cell phones in the technological world. I believe that texting is the cornerstone of feeling at the top of the world and feeling like you are it, you are queen bee, you are the important person. And I also feel like on the flip side, texting can aid and abet in us feeling very lonely. And I feel that texting is a very interesting concept because text can be instant. And I think for the most part, because they can be instant, we assume that they will be. We assume that every time we send a text, we're going to get an immediate, timely response back. And for the most part, I think most of us get that. With certain people in certain situations, we can constantly figure the fact that unless they are asleep, out of the country, passed out, or in a major meeting where they can't take their phone out and text you, they're going to text you back. But I think it's interesting because we assume that they're going to be quick. We assume that the person that we texted is going to respond back in a timely manner. And so the first thing I want to talk about texting is the timeliness of it. How long does it take to get a text back? And I think that this is directly related to how important we feel we are, or how important we are on that other person's list. Because I always think it's interesting, you have some people that just don't text back in a timely manner, or some people used to text you back in an extreme timely manner and they don't do it anymore. Some people could text you back in certain occasions in a timely manner and not certain times otherwise. Some people constantly text you back in a timely manner and other people constantly don't respond back. And I think this is interesting because I do believe that for the most part, texting is a very interesting scale, 1 to 10, of how somebody honestly feels about you. Not all the time, but for the most part, I think depending on how long it takes for somebody to respond back to your text message directly relates to where you are in their mind. And what I'm saying is this. When it takes a long time to get a response back, it usually means that they either didn't see the text, it didn't go through, or better yet, you don't really matter that much in their life, and what you were texting back wasn't that important. Or sometimes people actually think that they actually responded, and they never did, or they responded, and it never went through. However, those things are situations. And for the most part, we have to not make assumptions, but it's very hard not to in a world based on how long does it take you to respond to a text. I think also, besides the actual time between the time that you texted them and the time that they responded or didn't respond, that is classified as how important you are in their life for sure. Because I think for the most part, you know, even if the text was lost, they're going to find it. It might be in a couple of days, but they're normally going to respond back feeling, you know, sorry, I missed it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this, instead of like, yeah, whatever. And the second thing is the actual response to the text. Not only the length of time that it took to respond, but what about the response level of the text? How responsive was it? Was it short? Was it very long in length? And I think a lot of times we see a long response as a meaningful response. We see it as somebody that cares more than someone who drops two or three words or a line response and doesn't really say anything. And I agree, there's some long texts that I get that I go, oh my God, for the love of God, what do we have going on here? But I do feel that at least that person took time to respond. And I understand that nowadays a lot of people use voice activation, and that's totally cool. But I feel that a lot of times we feel that not only are we being neglected if our text is not responded to in a timely manner, but especially when somebody only responds to part of the text, we wonder if they really read it. When somebody responds in a longer, lengthy text, we feel like a little more loved, a little more cared for, like somebody actually took the time to read it and came up with a response, and we got a response from them, and that means something to us. When it's really ultra short, you know, there's some people that you deal with that just don't like to text. Or you got some men out there that just, it's just hard for them, you know? And then you got some people out there that English is not a first language, it's a second language. And so it can be more difficult to respond back to a text, especially in a different language. The next thing is that, did they truly read your text or not? And you can normally tell automatically by how they respond to your text. So, for example, if you texted them something, let's say, let me make something up right here on the fly. Oh my gosh, can I do this? Okay. So let's say that you texted them, hey, what's going on? Just wanted to see if we're still on for the birthday next Saturday. Hey, are you bringing a gift? And by the way, what are you wearing? Okay. That's a text, and that's not very long. It's pretty short. And they respond back with a black dress. Okay, well, at least you got that figured out, but you have no idea. You kind of know that they're going to make it there, but you don't know if they're going to bring anything. At least you got two out of the three, right? You can kind of agree that they're going to be there. Now, it's always interesting when you ask somebody two questions and they only respond to the last one, like they didn't even read the first part, or they only respond to the first question like they didn't read the last part. It's like the ADD all-hour, everyday all-hour cocktail party. People are constantly just reading what they want to read, you know, flying by the seat of their pants minute to minute, not really focusing on the text and the context and the construct of what is being said. And I think a lot of times it becomes a difficult situation because a lot of people don't like to be on the phone. A lot of people don't like to actually pick up the phone and make a voice call. And to me, the voice call is the easiest thing. As long as you're not on there forever, somebody's not holding you to a gun to your head, holding you there for an hour and a half on the phone, to me, it's a lot easier of a situation to actually do. However, a lot of us like to use texting, and so we have a lot of questions to ask, a lot of things to do all at one time, and a text, and a lot of times people don't really read through it. And again, that kind of goes back to our happy and kind of lonely situation where we feel like we're not heard, we feel as though we're not being listened to, and we feel like nobody's paying attention to us. Last but not least, when it comes to the texting, one of the biggest pet peeves I have, and I'm sure a pet peeve of yours, your wife, your kids, or somebody you know, is the K, just the letter K, K. Like, they don't really spell out okay, they just spell out the letter K, like okay. And I think that's the text of death. I think that's the text of death. I think it's kind of a symbolic stab in the heart when you take it, because we take it personally. We take the big K personally, because we wrote a text message, took the time to write it, and instead of saying, hey, thanks a lot, or gotcha, I'm in it to win it, or hey, I'm on the same deal, or hey, I'm so glad you took time to do that, thank you so much, whatever it is, that person put a actual capitalized K, or a lowercase K if they were really, really lazy, and that's all you got. And I think that's not only like kind of rude, but I think it's deflating. I think it's deflating, and I think that it deflates your feeling toward the friendship. It deflates the feeling of how you feel in the friendship, like where you stand, and I think it can be kind of revealing, and I think a lot of times we read too much into it, sometimes because some people just don't like to text. However, it is kind of revealing because you know that there's other people that are texting that person, and they're not getting the K. They're getting a lot more than the K. And I recently got a text from somebody, and I want to talk about that when we return. I want to talk about the recent text and, you know, our relationship and where I feel we are versus the text that we're receiving. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I've been talking about our love affair for the phone. We are addicted to our phones. Some of us would marry our phones if we weren't already currently married in the United States to a human being. For some of you out of the country, you would marry your phone too. And I'm wondering when the first marriage to a phone will actually take place. I would like to be invited. Thank you. I will have you on my show. So let's talk about this. I recently had somebody, I feel, send me a text response that was similar to the K. And when I talk about the K, it's not the OK, it's just the letter K responding back. And I think that's just so rude. I think it's rude, and I think it's really lazy, because now that we have voice activation for most of us on there, you could at least voice activate and say, OK, Ashley, thanks. I mean, come on, it's not that hard, okay? It's not like you're not wasting the rest of your life on the phone anyway. And you know, it kind of makes you feel like you're just kind of one of the many. Or, worse than that, at the low end of the totem pole, you feel, I don't know, kind of deflated, and definitely not as important as you felt like you were. You know, recently, a friend of mine that we're very close, at least I thought we were close, a friend of mine that's very close, it's like, it was kind of like the same thing as the K. Like, the other day I asked him how he's doing, and he's constantly texting me back with just the word good. And I don't know, now that I look at it, you know, you're not supposed to really read too much into it, but I feel that even though it might even be a good friend of ours, somebody you've known for a long time, we second guess the whole concept of our friendship based upon the fact of how they respond to a text message. We literally second guess everything about that friendship based on their response. And sometimes they just don't have time. Sometimes they're in a bad mood. Sometimes we're overanalyzing. Other times it was the easy way to go. And sometimes that's all that was needed. That's all that was needed. But, you know, again, texting has become so much a part of our smartphones, so much a part of our lifestyle, that it's hard to take away the freaking text messaging and allow that phone to be. So now I want to talk about the phone and how it takes us out of the now. It takes us away from the now. It takes us away from the present moment. Even though we love our phone, and God bless it, you know, if you were in space and all you had was your phone, you know, you would kiss it and caress it and hold it. But, you know, at the same point in time, it does take us out of the present moment. You know, the first way that it takes us out of the present moment is it is like this thing. It's like we're now a child that has this game. And you see children all the time where their parents give them the iPads to play. A lot of them are very educational games, which is good. And I don't get down on parents for doing that too much. I mean, if they do it all the time, yes, it's a problematic situation. However, there are some times when the parents go to dinner where the kid is going crazy that it would be good to entertain them in an educational way, that it does come in handy because mom and dad can actually swallow their food and not freak out and have to take their son or daughter outside to discipline them and have everybody staring at them. But, however, a lot of us adults aren't kids. We are not learning our ABCs, and therefore we shouldn't have our head in our phone 24/7. The first thing it does is it keeps us from paying attention. It gives us this out. Okay? It gives us this out. It's kind of like when we don't have to pay attention and we know that we could look at something else and pay attention to that, a lot of us do that. We've been doing that since we were children, and we continue to do it as an adult. It's part of our human makeup. So we have these issues where we feel that we have this item, this thing really that we can look at and just like totally pay attention to that. And like I was talking about earlier in the first hour about how, you know, doctors right now, especially surgeons, back doctors, spinal doctors, are finding that we're starting to have major spinal issues and back problems and neck problems because of what? Because if we're looking down at our phones, and it's not a joke, we are. We're rounding out our shoulders, we have bad posture, we have our neck down in a certain way, tilted to look at the phone, not to mention other things that can happen. And so I want to talk about something that happened the other day, and I'm not proud about it. I'm not proud of it, okay? I'm not proud of it. I'm not tooting any sort of, like, you know, I don't know, symbolic horn here. I'm just telling the truth. In the mornings, I have a tendency of going through the phone. And I know that I talked about this a little earlier. It's not that I want to, but I have to. It's like this addiction I have. And I wake up early in the morning and I lay in bed. I get my phone up. I turn the phone off airplane mode. And I go through Facebook. I go through Instagram. I go through Twitter. I go through whatever, Periscope, Spreaker. See my numbers on Spreaker. Go through my emails, go through my text messaging, all before 7 a.m. And I do this in a very short time because I've gotten better and better and better at it, you know? And, you know, like these doctors have been talking about, they said that we're going to have all these back problems, that most of these people are going to have afflictions with their backs based on the fact that we look at our phones so much. And I totally get it because I recently almost had a major accident. Now, for any of you listening, a lot of you already know that I've had two nose surgeries. I broke my nose two different times and had to have both times basically an entire, you know, redo, new cartilage rolled in, all kinds of stuff. I mean, like, it was smashed up in there like I had joined the Fight Club. And I'm not going to get into all that right now because it is quite humorous. I could do a whole show on it. However, both times, two different surgeries. And so, you know how people get, and I don't like to use Michael Jackson as an example, but once you do surgery on something too many times, especially something like a nose, it begins to look strange. And so I think that the third time would be the last. So I'm having to live with a lot of issues that I already have. I have some fractures and some little things there that I'm living with. But all in all, my doctor did a really great job. And he's a great person. However, I almost broke it again. And it was funny because there I am laying in bed and I have my phone over my head. Like I have my arms all the way up, all the way over my head. And I have very long arms and I have them over my head and I'm looking at the phone and I have it far enough away where I can see it. And it's not too bright because I didn't want to mess with my eyes. And as I'm looking at something, I totally forget that I'm holding the phone and I drop it right onto my nose. I drop it right on my nose and it literally hits it. I'm like, oh God, oh no, my nose. Oh God, please. Oh, please, God. I'll go all over the world telling people not to look at your phones in bed. I will go all over the world telling people that phone is a bad thing to have if I can just not have another broken nose. And so it was really wild. So I call my nose surgeon. And I called them up and I said, I've got to get in. And I dropped my phone on my nose. Oh my God, please God. They're like, come on in. So I came in, he checked my nose and he's like, no, you didn't break it. It's okay. No worries. It's a little red. It's a little bruised. Sure. You bruised it up pretty good. But it is not broken, Ashley. Thank God. And, I went home continuing to say my prayers. And it was funny because that next night, for the first time, I'm watching Jimmy Fallon on TV, and I think he's great, and I like Saturday Night Live, and I think he's great, and I'm happy for him. I think he's a good guy, and I'm watching him, and he's talking about laying in bed, and he's looking at his phone, and his phone, he has it held over his head, and he goes, and you'll never believe, and you see him, and his nose is bandaged. He goes, I dropped it on my nose, and I broke my nose. That's when I felt like we were like connected at birth. Okay, how many people do this in the same 48 hours? He broke his. Thank God I didn't. Mine's only been replaced twice. And I mean, think about it. That's hilarious. God bless. My heart goes out to him because I've gone through all that. However, that's what I'm talking about. We have a tendency of not paying attention when we're on this phone. I mean, I just let that phone just like rip into my nose like that. Wasn't thinking about it. Wasn't at all focusing on the fact that I let go in midair and let it, boom, hit me in the nose. A lot of times we're like walking around. We're walking around outside, hanging out, going to our car. And what are we doing? We got our face in our phone. I mean, besides the fact of not wanting to get mugged, that's the last thing you want to do. I mean, focusing on your surroundings is a good thing. Seeing your surroundings is a good thing. Noticing people around you is a good thing. Driving without being on the phone is an excellent thing. And not texting while driving is a godly thing. That is godly. Not texting while you're driving is godly. Because when we don't text and we actually drive, that is when we realize that we are not able to do everything at one time, and we might probably do something pretty bad if we try to do it all at once. We know that we are human, and we know that we have our setbacks, our holdbacks, our not-so-good things, and texting and driving, usually across the board, except for the select few of you, and no, I'm not going to test your strength on it. You know who you are. However, I was there once where I knew that I was the best texter and driver. And when I almost felt like I almost hurt somebody, I did not. But I knew people that had, and they actually got in a lot of trouble for it. I realized that I wasn't going to push my luck, and I would wait until I wasn't in the car anymore. Because we're not paying attention. We're not fully equipped to pay attention. So stay tuned. We return. We're talking more about how the phone and us, because not just the phone, okay? Phones don't kill people. People kill people. It's not just the phone. It's us and the phone that takes us out of the present moment. Stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time. Two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about how phones don't kill people, but people kill people. I'm talking about how phones take us away and take us out of the present moment. Us and the phone are like this dynamic duo that can take each other away out of the present moment. We can whisk ourselves away into a dreamlike world where we're not paying attention to absolutely anything. You know, for some of us, we see people walking out to their cars in the dark little parking lots with their face down in the phone, and you go, man, that is a bonehead move. That is a bonehead move. Some of us realize that a lot of us don't pay attention at all. We get in the car and we sit there. Especially in California, a lot of times when you're waiting on a spot, you see a spot, there are hardly any spots, you're trying to park on the street, you just need that spot. God forbid, you're like, are they going to wait out their entire meter? Are they going to wait out the whole meter? And you realize it's not about that. They're texting. They have no idea that you're waiting for the spot. And it's not till they look up and they go, oh my gosh. And they're sweet because they look back and they go, oh, sorry. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you've been sitting there for 20 minutes because you know it's the only spot around. You know it is. And there's even somebody else waiting to see if you're going to wait that long. And they'll swoop in to get it if you don't. But a lot of times we're not paying attention. And I've been there before where I'm like sitting there and I'm like, and I kind of wake up out of this crazy phone, like, I don't know, like kind of half alive, half comatose, half, I don't know, something like sugar buzz. And then I go, oh my gosh, I've been sitting on the phone here in the driveway for 20 minutes. Also, another thing that we do with this phone that takes us out of the present moment is that, haven't you been in conversations or out to eat or doing stuff with other people where you pick up your phone and guess what? You're no longer in the conversation. You're no longer in the conversation. You're out of it because guess what? You've entered phone world. I like to call it phone world. And phone world, where everything's like Disney. You have phone world, let's see, and phone land. So you have phone world and phone land. And don't ask me to tell you which one's in California or which one's in Florida, because you know what? I never win that bet and I always forget. However, I think land is bigger than world, but some people say world is bigger than land. I don't know, but we become like this like being of phone world. And as we move into the being of phone world, out of the third dimension, into the being of phone world, we're now there. We're now unison with the phone world. You know, Siri is our friend. Yes, no, Siri has not come by the house. Siri has not made any sort of casserole. And no, Siri does not kiss you at night, good bed, good riddance, whatever you'd like. But we're no longer in the conversation. All of a sudden, we have these able bodies, these people that are actually breathing, made out of human tissue, standing or sitting next to us, and we have moved ourselves from their world to phone world. And it's almost like when we go into phone world, everybody else wants to be in phone world. It's like we have the power of phone world. Almost as if the phone world is even more important than these beings right here. It's like, and it's so funny because it's like the people that are left outside of phone world feel like we're left outside of phone world. And it takes that one really conscious person and kind of a vigilant person to not pick up their phone. It's almost like we're winning like a Medal of Honor, you know what I mean? I got the Purple Heart. I didn't enter phone world today. Oh my God, I did it. I did it! Yes, I did it! I did it, and I'm happy I did it. Oh my God, I'm a good person, and I don't have to go to church this weekend because you know what? Didn't enter phone world. But for all the rest of us, what do? We get right into phone world because Gina got into phone world right in the middle of a conversation. And you know what? Gina's not more important than my phone world. Apparently, she thinks that I'm less important. But you know what? I'm going to gain points right now and enter phone world and make myself important again and know that other people care about me. Gina might not seem to care about you. Doggone it. People like me and I'm a likable person. Seriously, when we leave the conversation, we leave it. And it's so funny, it's hard to leave phone world. It's like we feel like we got to pack a bag, pack a lunch, take some water. For some of y'all drink a lot of wine. Take your wine. I don't know. Take your wine. Drink your juice, Shelby. Drink your juice. And it's interesting because it's like we fall into other worldly conversations. Because think about it. There we are with other people, hanging out, and all of a sudden we enter phone world. And doesn't it feel like we kind of enter another atmosphere? And it's almost like those people we're sitting next to, like we can't even hear them talk. They talk, it's like we put a screen down. It's almost like that limo screen where you can see them, but you can't hear them. And seriously, you kind of go, well, that's interesting. And you kind of look like them, like you look at them like they're almost like in a zoo, you know, like they're just like humans standing there almost in their natural habitat where you forget exactly what's kind of going on and you go into this other conversation. And as you enter this other conversation, whoever's on the texting side or the Facebook or the Twitter or the LinkedIn or the Instagram or whatever it is that you are using to exit out of your third dimensional life, whatever it is, you move out of it and you're in it. And you're just like, wow, here I am. I'm in this world. And you forget about the fact that these other people are actually standing there talking to you or talking to themselves. And you could care less. You're in phone land now. You know what I mean? It's almost like you're a mattress giant or something where you're trying all the mattresses and you forget how stupid you look. Like, you forget how stupid you look laying on all these mattresses. I recently went to a state fair in my hometown. And they have like this area inside of the fairgrounds, inside where it's all AC'd and everything. And they have Mattress Giant or Mattress Firm, one of those two. And they had all the mattresses. And it's like you see these people. And one, how many people lay on these mattresses in a day? Okay, that's, oh God, okay. Second of all, you look like a crazy idiot laying on a mattress in the middle of a fair. Like, I just can't stress the fact. And you might want to do it, but you just can't do it. And it's kind of the same as entering phone land. We go into phone land and we don't even realize how crazy we look. And for some of you, you look crazier than others. Okay, and I'm going to explain why you look crazier than others right now. Bluetooth. Two words for you. Bluetooth. You look nutty. You look crazy. Bluetooth makes you look nutty. You look like you're crazy. You look like you're somebody from space, but you're not necessarily an alien because you wouldn't look like that. You wouldn't need a Bluetooth if you're an alien. And my friend calls them the pod people. You know, you always hear that. And it's funny because these same pod people, and I have some friends, I know if you're listening to this show, I have a few of you in mind right now. I'm not ragging on you, actually. I'm just making a light joke. But you know what I'm saying. You wear the Bluetooth all the time. Like, you're not on the phone, but you keep it on your ear at all times. That's gotta be bad. Health-wise, definitely, like, image-wise, not so good. But health-wise, you don't know about that. It's probably like a microwave that you have sitting on your ear for the last 12 years and change, and it has a blue light on it. I refuse to use that. I am a big believer in the headset that's provided by the phone that actually plugs into your phone, where you can leave your phone more than a foot away from you, and you will be fine. If you read the actual manual PDF that you can get by downloading from your phone, you'll see the warning signs. And that's a big warning sign. It's a big matzo ball right there. And you have to think about that kind of stuff. And so it's funny how we enter phone world, phone land, and we walk out of the human conversation and enter this dynamic, out of this world, phonely in conversation. You know, I think it's interesting. And we go into this other conversation, and it's funny how when we walk into phone land, what do we do in Earth? What do we do right now as a human being? Guess what we do? We walk to the sidelines and we sit down. I mean, think about it. It's the same as if, okay, Tony Romo's on the sidelines right now. Not a good example. Well, let's take, for example, he was in the game. Whoever. Take a quarterback. Pick a quarterback you like. Okay, so you got a quarterback that you like. They're in the game. They're making a great play. They're trying to run. They're trying to, you know, throw the ball into the end zone. And right before they throw the ball, they pick up the phone and start talking. And as they're talking, you know how people have a tendency of walking back and forth. They're just standing there. And they just stand there. Or maybe he picks up the phone and he looks at an Instagram post. He walks to the sideline. He sits down. He's laughing because two dogs, there's a cartoon of two dogs that he can't stop laughing about. Okay? He has literally walked out of his life, which is what we do. We might not have as glamorous of a life as a quarterback of a football team, of a professional football team that people, you know, pray about every day about winning. But think about it. It's the same as that. We are doing the same thing as that quarterback does in the game. When we're hanging out, when we're doing something, when we're living life, and we literally go into phone world, we sit on the sidelines. Stay tuned and return. We'll be talking more about how the phone takes us away from the present moment and what we can do about it. By the way, check out AshleyBurgess.com, my website, when you get a moment. I think you're going to like it. There's a lot of cool stuff on there, a lot of really neat blogging, a lot of really neat, cool stuff. As well as, you know, I'm a family and marriage counselor, as well as a licensed corporate and personal life coach. I work a lot with CEOs and CFOs in the area and also nationwide. So I actually work with people via Skype and via phone calls, which is really awesome, besides coming in and working face-to-face. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. Back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about phones and how our phone has a tendency of taking us out of the present moment. Now, I know it's not just the phone. Like I said earlier, phones don't kill people. People kill people. But what I mean by that is that the phone is the apparatus that we use to get out of communication with other people. And I think that that stems from some insecurity, the unknown, just feeling a little off, needing some reassurance, wanting that security blanket, and also wanting to feel super, super important. You know, right before the break, I was talking about how, you know, Tony Romo was like throwing a pass and he was being the quarterback that he is and he was, you know, playing in the game and he just decided to, instead of doing that, just to pick up his smartphone and to comment on someone's Instagram picture as he walks over to the sidelines and sits down as we lose the game. That's crazy. And think about how many people do that all day long. We might not be the quarterback of our team. However, we do that in life. We're constantly leaving our life. We're constantly leaving our living, breathing life and walking to the sidelines of life to be on our phone. And we do this all the time. We literally enter phone world, enter phone land, whether you want it in Florida or California. I don't know which one Disney World, Disneyland's in, but you know what? You enter phone world and all of a sudden you exit your life. You enter into this like pseudo life. The pseudo life where there, it's kind of based on like hearts and likes and dings and like tweets and like how many phone calls did you get? How many texts did you receive today? Think about it. We start deriving this importance based on something that's not really real. And I've done it before, and I still catch myself doing it sometimes. Like I was talking about being on that conference call earlier today and doing it almost every week. I literally get off that conference call, and the first thing I think is, well, I need to get back on the phone. Well, you know what? I got something to say on the phone. I know there's somebody I need to talk to. Get somebody on the phone. Anybody, Ashley. Oh, my God. It's silence. What am I going to do? You know, I think also once we enter that sidelines, it's like we automatically like start anticipating future happenings. We're no longer in the present anymore. We might be looking at past photographs. We might be talking to somebody, but it's not in the present. It's not in the future. It's not real. It's not real. It's like a cyber conversation, a cyber life that we're having. And some of us have a tendency of choosing that cyber life over real life. Some of us have a tendency of choosing that cyber life over real life. And I figured that when the less we maintain our real life, the more our life will suffer. You know, it's like when I was talking about not texting and driving. I mean, that's a big thing. To not text while driving is godly because a lot of us have a tendency of doing it. And we feel like we can do everything, but you know what? We can't. And it's because you've actually, it's not because you're an idiot. It's because you're basically, you're like teetering on two different worlds. You're currently driving in a third dimensional Earth on the plane that you live in when you're not sleeping. You're on a cyber world when you're holding that phone up, and you're on that phone, you're living through cyberspace at the same time. So you're in one dimension and another, one that's not really an honest dimension, one that is. And the thing is that it's hard to be in two dimensions at one time, because when you're in phone world, it takes you out of real world. And so you can't be driving heavy machinery or focusing on something like that when you're in phone world. And I think that's interesting. And I think once we enter that sidelines, we're no longer in the present moment. And how many times have you been on that phone where you get on that phone and you can't stop and you realize that life has been passing you by? How many times have you gotten on that phone and hours have gone by and you have nothing to show for it? How many times have you gone home and sat down and you and your spouse were on your phones at the same time? You look up at the clock and you realize it's 30 minutes before you need to go to bed and you really haven't spoken. It's true. I mean, and how many of us, and this is a really big question, how many of us, because I don't think there's a lot of you out there, I think that very few would say yes to this. How many of you on your deathbed would ask for your cell phone if your family was with you? And we have a tendency of doing that all the time. I've been to people's birthday parties where they didn't stop. They were constantly on their phone. They were constantly tweeting, Facebooking, conversating with people that weren't there. They were having Facebook conversations with people that weren't there. You would think, yes, I agree, if it's your mom or dad, a couple of messages. If it's your spouse because they couldn't be there, that's cool. But if it's people that aren't even in town and really don't really want to be there, but they're just talking to you, I mean, get off the phone. You have people that are actually there, that showed up for your birthday, that actually cared, and you're over there on the phone. So right now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about ways that you can get back into the present moment, take control of your life, know when you're in phone world, and create a better lasting life. Because right now, the phone was created for convenience. The phone was created to make it easy for us to make a call, to communicate. It wasn't meant for us to stop and shut down with communication. It was not meant to get in the way of communication normally. It was not meant to substitute human interaction. Again, it was not meant to substitute for human interaction. We have taken an item that was used, that was created for our convenience, and used it to substitute for things that we're not supposed to substitute for. Therefore, what happens when we do that? We start substituting our life. We substitute out. We put ourselves on the sidelines. And the first thing that you can do to begin to put yourself back into the present moment is to catch yourself the next time you enter phone world when you're around others. Because I think it's the easiest to recognize when you move into phone world, go on to the sidelines and stop being a part of the conversation at hand. I think it's easier to recognize when you're with other people, because it's shocking. Because it's absolutely shocking. And you're going to catch yourself at one time or another where you really can't believe that you just did that. You're going to catch yourself one time where you go, I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe I got on my phone. I've actually seen people shooting a film that actually makes the box offices. That's actually a claim film where they're in the background where they actually take a phone call. I've seen people take a phone call when they're trying to check their wife into the hospital with labor, and it's not anything important. I mean, I have seen some crazy stuff. I've seen people text friends when their kid walks up to the stage and gets their diploma and they never got a picture of it. I mean, these are the times where you can catch yourself and go, oh my gosh, I really do need help. And I can help with this, but I think you can do it too on your own. And if you need extensive help with this, not only about the phone, but being in the present moment, I'm definitely somebody that can work with you with that. And the phone thing will just kind of follow in the area of that. However, I think that you can begin to catch yourself. And the first time you catch yourself, it's a kind of a funny situation, but it opens your eyes to realizing how easy it is to fall into phone world. The second thing that you can do is when you're in a group of people, when you're with a group of people and everybody's hanging out and you're at dinner or wherever you're at, and one person goes after their phone and the rest of the people follow and go after their phone and start getting on the phone, be the person that doesn't pick up their phone. Be the person that doesn't pick up their phone. Because you know what? When you do that, you can feel a sigh of relief, but on top of that, you can know that you did the right thing. Be that person. Be the game changer, because you know what? Over time, this is going to be a helpful thing to you, because it's going to make it easier and easier to detach your umbilical cord from the phone. You're going to be able to detach a lot easier than other people, and eventually people are going to also watch you because you're a source of inspiration for them. They're going to watch you and they're going to look up to you, and you're going to help other people. Last but not least, find other things in your life to feel important about. Find other things in life to feel important about. Remember, the dings, the rings, the hearts, and the likes are not what makes you important. It's what is within. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next in Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 Shakes.